You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Monday, Dave bailed on the show. We have reached Friday, and now Rick has gone AWOL. Off and running, and welcome in to DPHRO and Rothenberg, which is not only the title name of the show, it also happens to be a list of people who will not be appearing on the show on this Friday, July 1st. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. We've made it to July, we've made it to the weekend, and we have made it to NBA free agency. But as I said, Dave gone, Rick could not possibly take me for another day. But luckily, against his best judgment, Dan Grasso set the alarm clock this morning, and he is up with us on this Friday. Good morning, Dan. How are we feeling, my friend?
Oh, good morning, good morning. Now, is that confirmed that Rick just couldn't take it for another day, and that's why he bailed on the show today?
Well, look, it's NBA free agency maybe playing a part in my brain where, you know, you got to read the tea leaves, you got to read the smoke signals. No one has said that to me specifically. No one said that to my face. But just spending the last 4 days with Rick, I could see, and this is not, you know, Rick is not the first person to have this happen. They just couldn't take me anymore. And so they just bail on his own show because he just couldn't take it.
Take it.
But it was surprising nonetheless, right? I mean, in these cases, it's somewhat surprising when that happens. I mean, because I'm just trying to tie it to NBA free agency, of course.
Yeah, no, you know, it was not Kevin Durant news. It was not, you know, it was not one of these. It was much more Jalen Brunson than Kevin Durant. Let me put it that way, right? It was much more, you could see this one coming from a couple of miles away as opposed to, wow, what a shot. Rick doesn't want to come in and work with me again. We had such a good time together. No, he bailed.
He probably just wanted the extra nice little day in the holiday weekend. Do you believe it's July? Like, we are now technically in the second half of the calendar year. Second half of the year. There's football training camp that opens later this month. It doesn't feel like July to me yet. I can't believe we're here.
Well, I always say, when you're a kid, July 4th, start of the summer. July 4th hits, and that's like, wow, the whole summer is in front of us. We got the hot days are here. Nothing but good times ahead. When you're an adult, July 4th, you blink your eyes, and the next thing you know, it's Labor Day. So
that's a fair point.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And look, you got the football. That's the nice thing is you got your football. You know, when you stop worrying about having to go to school, September is an unbelievable month. But that's for another day. Right now,
yes,
we're smack dab in the middle of NBA free agency. We got a lot of stuff to do. Yankees lost the Astros last night. It's a Friday. So we'll have the morning roast. RJ was asking me, do we still want to do it? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. This is right up my alley. I do this when I'm playing the at-home version of DPHRO and Rothenberg. So yeah, why wouldn't I do it when I'm actually on the show?
You live for this. Live for this.
Absolutely.
By the way, last night feel weird to you in any way? Like, you mentioned the Yankees. Like, the 6 o'clock start, you know, with all this NBA free agency stuff that was swirling, it seemed like a weird kind of night. Maybe knowing that I had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day, maybe it had something
That'll
to do with
it.
But seemed a little off, did it not?
It did, because the Yankee game also, it seemed like it flew by. You know, nobody scoring any runs. It was over very quickly. And that's a very strange experience when you're doing this show, because, you know, you have to stay up kind of late to watch the end of the games. I don't remember exactly what time the game ended last night, but it was over pretty fast. Yankees helping out by not scoring any runs.
That'll do
so
it.
That helps. Yeah, that did help. But it was
and it was still
it was
somewhat light
time.
Out too. It was still somewhat light out when the game ended, right? By like around 9 o'clock, it's not 100% pitch black yet, which is great. And you know, but yeah, and I mean, when nobody gets any hits, game flies by, bim bam boom, game's over, and then they leave. It's just all. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but it was just so odd, you know, going down there. I mean, at least Houston. They get to stay home. You know, they're welcoming in, I think, the Angels for another series here. Yankees, it's like they fly up, they play one game, and then boom, they're gone to another city. That's got to weigh on you, I think, mentally a little bit. I know these guys make a ton of money, but it just seems odd. Like, you don't unpack the suitcase, you're there for one day, and then goodbye. See ya.
And the reason why it's only one game is because this was one of the makeup games from the lockout. So they had to reschedule them sometime else. And you would have thought, like, Major League Baseball, they have all these people, they have all these computers. You know what? Let's find the maximum way that we can reschedule these games so it's not as big a pain in the neck. No. Day off there. They'll just play one. Just put one in there, and then we'll put two someplace else, and then we'll be good to go. We'll be fine.
And they're playing the doubleheader on that Thursday.
Yeah.
After the All-Star break, which in all of there's four games that day, like across Major League Baseball. Like, you know, the players, like, they fought hard. That's a day off. You know, remember when we were kids, like, you'd actually have games on that day sometimes. Now it's like, God forbid, you have to have the full week off. You got to start again on Friday. But no, this year, because of all the screwiness of the offseason, four games that day, and the Yanks will play two of them.
And the Yankees are not – the only time the Yankees have had off basically in, like, the last month and a half is July 4th. Not playing on July 4th. That day we're not playing. Every other day we're playing fine. We're not going to squeeze one in on July 4th.
That'll can't do it. Off.
No, can't.
Cannot do it. Because Monday's a big off day for baseball. That's why.
Yeah, but. Right. When everybody else is off, right, July 4th, don't want to have any baseball that time. Let's give everybody off. Right.
Wait, are the Blue Jays home on July 4th? That always cracks me up. The Blue Jays are on the road. Because there were times, like I remember one year, like the Mets went up to Toronto, played a game in Toronto on an American holiday, and the Blue Jays were one of the home teams that day. That cracked me up. I forgot what year that was, but that was a thing. It happened.
Well, you know, they can't really be focused on it too much. They're too worried about these robo-umps. You know, they got to get that whole system down in a couple of years, so that's what the focus is.
That'll be a scene, baby. Oh, that'll be a scene.
Well, look, yesterday was a big day because yesterday was the anniversary of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving agreeing to go to Brooklyn, and it was also the start of NBA free agency, which just tied in perfectly together. Because you get the news yesterday from Woj that Kevin Durant wants the trade. He wants out of Brooklyn, and he has requested the trade. And it almost, Dan, to me, it almost felt like a season finale to a TV show, right? It had a shocking plot twist. It's been a story we've been following along this entire time. And it has essentially closed the book on this part of the story, but at the same time, left us with, like, a cliffhanger. It's like Breaking Bad. The dynamic duo who has put the story in place here for the last 3 years of the Brooklyn Nets. Boy, they wrapped up the story, and they did so with a bang. Wow, what can we just, before we get into and we'll get into it all today, about where Kevin Durant's going to go, where does it make the most sense, how much can they get for him, can we just take a second to have a conversation of the true appreciation of what a dumpster fire this turned out to be?
It's one of the biggest calamities, maybe the biggest calamities in modern team sports, right? One of the most underachieving, biggest failures, you know, not living up to the hype, you name it. That's what Brooklyn was for the last 3 years. I mean, everybody jokes about how, you know, Harden, Kyrie, KD, they played 16 games or whatever it was, the three of them. But even if you didn't think they would win a championship, Gordon, like even if you didn't think they would scale the heights and get to the top of the mountain, you didn't expect just the absolute little lack of production that this franchise was able to produce during this time period. One lousy, stinking playoff series. Think about the old man Celtics trade that they made once upon a time. Bringing in those guys from the Celtics, they experienced more success than this group did. And that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, what an absolute... Like, if you would have had a time machine where on the day that, or let me put it this way, if on the day the Nets made the announcement, and Woj made the announcement, whoever made the announcement, KD and Kyrie, they're teaming up, they're joining forces, they're going to Brooklyn. And you were doing a show that day. and you took calls at 1-800-919-ESPN. And someone had the gall to call up and say, you know what? I think in 3 years, these guys not only won't win a championship, they'll only win one playoff series. You would laugh that person off the phone line. You would mock that person for the next hour of your show. It would be ridiculous to think that with that that dynamic duo teaming up, with everybody looking to join them in Brooklyn to ride the coattails, that they won one playoff series. And not only won one playoff series, you know, because they don't have any loyalty to Brooklyn. They have taken what they could from the organization and left it as a smoking pile of just wreckage on the way out the door. It really is impressive. We'll be talking about this for years to come.
There's going to be movies. There's going to be books written. There's going to be songs written. Everything that you could possibly drum up about this team and what they went through the last 3 years. How about Kevin Durant? Here's Durant. And, I mean, obviously Kyrie's the easy target. You talk about him. Here's Durant, right? Signs the three. He gets signs up for the 3 years. The first year is essentially the Nets paying him millions and millions of dollars to redshirt and to rehab. It was a rehab year because he knew he wasn't going to play.
Yep. Right.
So he was a Net for 3 years, but the 1 year didn't even touch the floor. So really, he got two seasons out of it. Then he actually signs and commits again last year for the 4 year max contract, whatever it is. Hey, I'm committed to Brooklyn. I'm all in. Blah, 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 blah. Isn't it ironic that he will not even have played a game for the Brooklyn Nets when that new 4 year contract kicks in? Like, you can't make this up. You couldn't make it up in a million years. And you know what a couple of people were telling me yesterday and tweeting and this and that? And they said, well, you know what? If they went to the Knicks, none of this would have happened. Oh, no. See, to me, this is where the Knicks actually dodge a bullet here, because you can't tell me, Gordon, with the principals involved, especially with Kyrie being the ringleader, that the same disaster would not have fallen on the Knicks' plate, exactly what happened in Brooklyn.
Oh, absolutely. I don't see any reason why the team really matters all that much, because at the end of the day, if you were going to get these guys, one of the stipulations, whether it was spoken or unspoken, was that you were turning over your organization to them.
Yep.
Right? These guys weren't going to the Miami Heat because they didn't want to have to deal with someone else telling them that, you know, this or that, or having a say in who the coach is going to be or what moves. These guys wanted to run the show. So anywhere they were going to go, this maybe not exactly the same way, because maybe the other organizations would have put their foot down at some point along the way. But no, this same thing would have absolutely happened no matter where they went. It was almost like written in the stars that this was the way it was going to kind of play out.
We were talking about it before the show last night at the Barclays Center, the Liberty are playing, and who's sitting there courtside? Ben Simmons. And like, we were wondering aloud, like, what is Ben Simmons thinking right now? I mean, not that I'm not trying to imply that, like, you know, woe is me for Ben Simmons, because, I mean, Ben Simmons has stolen more money over the last couple of years than maybe any professional athlete in sports. But, like, do you think Ben Simmons actually has a feel or has a care in the world about what is now potentially taking shape with this franchise, that he's essentially that Will Smith meme from The Fresh Prince where he's in the living room all by himself and the furniture's gone and nothing is left and it's just Ben Simmons? Do you think he cares at all?
I saw the funniest headline about Ben Simmons, and it came from the New York Post. This, if you see this headline today pop up on your Twitter feed, you will at the very least smile and possibly just guffaw for the next 5 minutes. The headline was, Ben Simmons, now key to the Nets rebuild. I don't know what Sean Marks is going to do. I don't know how the new plan will take shape. If Ben Simmons is actually the key to the Nets rebuild, wow, they're in real, real trouble.
And, you know, not for nothing, a lot was made, remember, over the last month with the whole Charles Barkley thing with Kevin Durant about, you know, well, KD's never been the bus driver before. He's never driven the bus on a team that won a championship. Is he going to be the one driving the bus out of Brooklyn to whatever city and whatever team he's going to go to next. And here's what's great about KD. You know, for a guy who is, let's be honest, he's an extremely talented player. You want to say all-time great, but he's probably one of the top 20 players to ever step on a basketball court in the history of the game. Nobody is disputing that. But it's amazing that Kevin Durant, who's a guy who likes to move from place to place, who already pulled this once. Remember, he left Oklahoma City to join Golden State. And yes, he won a couple of championships, played great and all those things, but he kind of chased the ring there. Now he's going to pull the same thing to leave Brooklyn, except this time he leaves Brooklyn and the task is unfulfilled. For a guy as great as Durant, who wants to remind you as great as he is, whether it's legitimately with his own Twitter account or burner accounts or whatever it is, isn't it funny that now we're hearing the places he maybe wants to take up shop next, Gordon, is Phoenix, maybe Miami, the two teams that have the best records in their respective conferences. I mean, you know what? If you're as great as Kevin Durant and you're all about legacy and you want to remind people how great you are and cement yourself as an all-time great and an immortal, how about saying, you know what? Maybe I'll go to Sacramento. I'll drive the bus to Sacramento. If you make a winner out of Sacramento, then nobody could say anything about you. How about the challenge of doing that? Because you know what? Remember, it was 20 years ago. You think Jason Kidd wanted to come to the New Jersey Nets? The New Jersey Nets were probably 10 times more the laughingstock than they're going to be once all of this maneuvering is done. Yet Jason Kidd went to the New Jersey Nets and took that team to the NBA Finals on back-to-back occasions. You think Kevin Durant would ever embrace a challenge like that? I sure as hell don't think so.
No. Well, look, I think that there is actually a better chance of Ben Simmons being the key to the Nets rebuild than Kevin Durant saying, you know what, let me go somewhere like Sacramento. Because, again, you know, father time comes for all of us. The clock is ticking on. I mean, the guy's 33 years old already.
I'm done.
He's already dealt with one serious injury in the Achilles. He's missed a bunch of time this past year, right? Before he gets hurt, Nets are sitting there on Christmas Day, first place in the East, everything going according to plan, and then he goes down and the whole ship goes down with him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, well, Kevin Durant's not going to be getting a lot of sleep then, because he's getting out of town as fast as humanly possible. It is Dan Grosso. I am Gordon Damer, filling in for DPetro and Rothenberg here on 98.7 FM ESPN New York. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. We're talking, obviously, about the big news yesterday that comes down that Kevin Durant is requested a trade, and it looks like it will happen. And now, you know, we got to fill in so many of the other pieces here about where is he going to go, what can the Nets get back for him.
Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
Yeah, why? I asked you there before the break there, Dan, about Who do you blame the most? Look, when there's a situation that is as epic, like as the kids say, an epic fail,
yeah.
This is an epic fail. The Brooklyn experiment was an epic fail.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Who do you think deserves the most blame? Obviously, everybody's going to get a certain part of the pie, but who gets the dad slice? Who gets like the big old huge slice of pie that is the blame for the Brooklyn Nets?
For the Nets situation themselves, like it's funny because not that they have any care in the world over how things unfolded, but like I looked at Durant and I still can't get over the fact that he left a situation in Golden State, which probably would have produced more winning, maybe even more titles, to hitch his ride to Kyrie Irving. Like the fact that he would do that was a big contributing factor here, because then the Nets went along with it, because I think the Nets, more than anything, it was more about getting KD. And the fact that, okay, Kyrie is going to come along as well, great, more the better. And they could overlook whatever sort of deficiencies and flaws. Because remember, when Kyrie was in Boston, he wasn't exactly, you know, the model employee, if you will.
No,
remember,
not generally.
Exactly. I mean, there was some dysfunction and stuff. I mean, I heard things up there that, you know, wasn't exactly the easiest guy to deal with. And as you saw, the Celtics didn't have the success when he was there, shockingly enough. And then they go to the NBA Finals when he's gone. So I think that that's part of it. You know, if you want to sit here and point the finger at Sean Marks because he's the general manager, well, that's great. But, like, Sean Marks is an executive in the NBA. Like, what has he won? You know? Don't tell me that, like, he grew up in the Spurs organization and was part of an organization that won titles in San Antonio. Yeah, but, like, he wasn't, like, a chief decision maker. As the guy who's actually calling the shots, what has he won? So, point is, he had to get the green light from ownership. And whether that's Joe Tsai, who said, yeah, that's right, I'm all in, let's go ahead and do this. But Joe Tsai's thinking, hey, I'm getting marquee all-star type talent here. Who says no? I mean, the Nets were in basketball purgatory before these guys climbed aboard. So I can't necessarily blame the management, because I think a lot of teams in their situation would have done exactly the same thing by welcoming in these stars. It was just the wrong mix of players that contributed to this thing completely dissolving.
Yeah, and look, there's a bunch of teams, according to Woj, half the teams in the league are looking to add Kevin Durant right now after everything has gone down. So, yeah, you could crush Nets ownership and say, oh, you know, it was obvious that this was a mistake from the start, but nobody was saying that at the time. For me, it's Kevin Durant. It's all about who had the power here, and I guess you could say that ownership ultimately had the power, but they gave the power to the superstars to make sure that the superstars came to them. So to me, it's about Kevin Durant. He wanted this to be his show. He ran the show. He ran it right into the ground. He's the guy who wanted to team up with Kyrie. He essentially vouched for him. They wanted the coach. It was Kevin Durant, his coach, his moves. You know, not to exclude everybody else, but to me, if I'm putting the pyramid in place, right at the top has to be Kevin Durant, because this was his show. That's why he came here, right? He didn't want to be known as the guy who attached himself to a 73-win team. He didn't want to be the guy that wasn't getting the proper credit playing with the Golden State Warriors. So now he's going to be a guy that's going to be playing on his fourth team in 6 years. No one ever has taken an easier path to a championship than Kevin Durant. And so for me, if I'm looking at where this went wrong, the first person I'm going to blame is the person who was pulling the strings, and that's Kevin Durant.
Where do you rank this, though? Like, you know, you brought up when he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, and like, he got crucified. Mm-hmm. Got crucified by everybody, you know, for taking the easy way out, as you said, chasing championships. Okay, but at least he paid it off by winning the two rings, two finals MVPs. Like, he delivered when he had to. Okay, he fulfilled the promise, whatever you want to say. But now you look at this, where not only does he go to Brooklyn and not win, he jumps ship when things are bad, leaves this team and this franchise completely like burning on the side of the road, as we talked about earlier here. Where does this rank to you compared to what he did way back when going to the Warriors, when he was routinely crucified and rightfully so?
Well, I mean, this one looks a whole lot worse. At least that one, at the time, he wanted his championships. And again, it was the easiest path. I mean, we will live to be 1,000 years old, and we will never see someone join the team that they just lost to, join a team that just won a championship, but did so in the record-setting fashion that they did. I mean, it's very hard to replicate all the different things that lined up perfectly for Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. But this one, to me, makes him look so much worse because this was what he wanted. He got every single thing that he wanted. And when the going gets tough, Kevin Durant gets going to another team.
Right.
I mean, that much has been proven. And for it to happen one time, all right, you know what? It was just the perfect circumstance. No, now it's a trend. Now we know that this is who this guy is, that when the going gets tough, Kevin Durant wants no part of it, and I'm just going to go someplace else where it's easy to win. And as you pointed out, the teams that he wants to go to, they're the best teams in the league, right?
I mean, give me a break. You know, it's like enough is enough. Like, way to go for the sacrifice. Great job. You know, you're making it challenging on yourself, going to two teams that, you know, are championship contenders to begin with here. But, you know, it's another conversation for another day, obviously. Like, you know, today's not the day we're having this conversation, but it pops up a lot over the course of a year when we get into these, like, all-time historical debates. And, Gordon, I've said this constantly about this current crop of superstars, guys who are warranted to be included in the conversation as like all-time greats. And Durant is one of them, right?
Absolutely.
To me, whenever we're sitting there trying to slot these guys, like remember we were doing it with Curry after the Warriors won this championship, like is he top 10 all-time? Is he this? Is he that? The guys today, and I'm throwing Durant into the mix, they lose points to me, and I will subtract points every single time, whenever we're talking about ranking them all time because of the crap that they constantly pull. Moving from team to team to team, taking the easy way out, chasing championships. You can't tell me that that doesn't hurt their cause whenever we're sitting there putting them up alongside the greats that came from previous years and previous decades when the game and the way the sport was conducted business-wise was a hell of a lot different than these guys are doing today. That hurts their appeal.
Well, if you were putting up a Wikipedia post of that topic, the picture that you would use on the Wikipedia post would be Kevin Durant.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's the poster child for that. So, at the end of the day, this is not something that you would want to be said about you. But, I mean, it does make him look like when the going gets tough, man, I can't handle it. And I'm going to – and you know what? It would be one thing if Kevin Durant had not won in Golden State, right? And he looked at the net situation and said, look, man, you know, I don't know how much time I really have left. I'm going to be 34 next season. I want to win a championship. I know this is not ideal, but I got to go. Could you get me someplace where I can finally get over the mountaintop? That's not what's happening.
No.
That's not what's happening at all. I mean, he came to this organization to build something here. It's been destroyed. I mean, the Nets are now going to be an NBA it's almost like what's the path forward for Brooklyn? They've traded away all their picks for the next 5 years. The Houston Rockets should be throwing a parade today. So if you're the Nets moving off Kevin Durant, you can't really tank because that doesn't do you any good. But you're never going to be able to get even close to fair value for Kevin Durant. So now you're screwed. The moves that you have made have absolutely screwed you moving forward. And now this guy is coming to you and requesting a trade. Oh, you know what? It's time for me to go. My work here is done.
I'll give you a comparison. Like, if you want to take another guy who's, you know, been transient over the last several years in his career, Kawhi Leonard. To me, Kawhi Leonard doesn't fall into the same category because, okay, he did what he did with the Spurs. Champion with the Spurs, finals MVP, all that stuff. And then, you know, they had a falling out there. Whatever the reason, we don't have to rehash that. They had a falling out. He put in his time. He goes to Toronto, where obviously he probably didn't want to go. That wasn't his ultimate destination, his ultimate choice. But you know what, Gordon? He was there for 1 year, and he delivered. He did everything you possibly could do as a rental player, help deliver that team their only championship. So when he left Toronto to sign with the Clippers in the middle of the night, you know, a few summers ago, I couldn't kill Kawhi Leonard like we're sitting here doing to Kevin Durant because he did what he was supposed to do and then some during his brief stop over in Toronto. He delivered him a championship. He wanted to go play someplace else, go closer to home out there on the West Coast. That's fine by me. Right. It's not
when you,
like
when you
he
get the
left
job done. You get
exactly
yeah. Right. Yeah, no, there's no question. No question. All right. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. So who do you blame most for what happened? The beautiful Brooklyn experiment, which is still a heaping wreckage in these hours of smoking debris Let's go out to Emmanuel is in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're first up on DiPietro and Rothenberg on a Friday.
Oh, man. Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Morning. Good,
how are you?
Morning, man. I don't know what to begin with, to be honest with you. I would say Sean Marks is mostly to blame because he was the one who got these guys. Number two, Kevin Durant, because everything, he didn't handle the pressure of being New York. And number three, Kyrie Irving. I mean, because I think that how he handled the situation, he handled it very well. But I will say this about the Brooklyn Nets. In 3 years, they won one playoff series, no final appearances, let alone conference finals. During that time, you have the Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, and Milwaukee Bucks, Eastern Conference champions, and the Bucks, by the way, won the title in 2021. They were supposed to be better than these three teams. That's all I'm saying. Take care, guys.
All right, Manuel. Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to – I mean, this was going to be championship central. I mean, when the news came down that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were going to the Brooklyn Nets, oh, my God – Now, not the first year, because we all knew that Kevin Durant was not going to play that first year. That's fine. But, you know, right now I'm rewatching Breaking Bad with my son. There's a lot of similarities in that, like, every time the things that are done, in the moment, there's some rationale for the move, right? But it always makes things, there's one step forward, but there's two steps back. So yes, we got to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but we got to give them control of the organization. We got to, you know, now here, James Harden's available, kind of makes a little bit of sense, but we got to completely mortgage the future. And at the end of the day, you're kind of left in the same kind of spot.
You know what it is? That's a great, you know, when you, because this is the second time you brought up Breaking Bad.
I love
fantastic
Bad.
Show, yeah, of course. Yeah. So if this version of the Nets right now is the season finale or the series finale of Breaking Bad and it's over, you know what next season's going to be Breaking Bad-wise for the Nets? It's going to be El Camino. It's going to be El Camino. That gets you all really excited, right? Then,
no.
Then get the juices going. It's not exactly
It's not
box
Better Call
office.
Saul. No, it's not.
No,
it's,
no, no,
it's
no.
one of the more knockoff shows afterwards. After MASH.
Better Call Saul is basically what Joe Johnson and Darren Williams and those guys version of the Brooklyn Nets, right?
No, it's not going to be good.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Yeah. I'm so thrown off by all this news. I have not at any point so far, through an hour and 20 minutes or so, wished you a happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Gordon, you know what? You shouldn't have. And let me be the first to wish you a happy Bobby Bonilla Day as well.
Yes.
And to all the fans out there, too.
And we should all be so grateful and gracious to go out to our mailbox and get a check for $1.1 million or something like that. It's a good deal.
That's a good living if you can get it. At what point, and I mean, I don't know how many years it's been, as a matter of fact, but like, at what point do you become a little jaded about the whole thing? Or are you just kind of like, Like, is it something you look forward to? Is it something you circle on the calendar? Do you think you almost forget about it if you're Bobby Bonilla all these years later?
Maybe. That's possible, right? Oh, is it? It's July. Oh, you go out to the mailbox. Look at that. It's July 1st again. Hey, he might have direct deposit by now.
$1.19 million. And it began in 2011 is when he started to get the direct deposit there. And it goes to 2035. So think about it. He's still got 13 more years.
So
Bobby Bonilla Day is 13 more years into the future.
Like, we're smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah.
We're not even we're not in the end game here.
It's like still the Roman Empire.
Nice. That's a good deal. Mailbox millionaire. That's what you always want to be. You just show up at the mailbox and look at that. Bang, check. Boom.
This is so great.
Bills? No, this is just a check. Nice. New York.
I see
Mets.
Bobby Bonilla, the thing, like, and for those that maybe weren't old enough to remember his career, he was a good player. You know, like, it didn't work out here with the Mets,
no,
maybe like he would have hoped. But, I mean, Bobby Bonilla had himself a pretty good career.
Oh, absolutely. He was a good player. Good player. More so Pittsburgh than the Mets.
Won a World Series with the Marlins, that team in 97, after the Mets. You know, had some, you know, time in Baltimore. And then, you know, what also, I think, made things even worse is that, remember, there was the Met reunion. He came back in 99, and that ended really with him and Ricky Henderson playing cards in the clubhouse during the playoffs.
Which did not turn out well again.
No.
Shockingly.
No. No. Bad hand. That happens.
These things happen. You know, who could have predicted that it would not have turned out well? All right. It is DiPietro and Rothenberg. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. But obviously, we are focused in on everything surrounding the Brooklyn Nets, everything surrounding Kevin Durant. And it is time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I guess we got to get into, Dan, where do you think Kevin Durant winds up? Obviously, the two big ones that are out there. It seems like Phoenix is where he wants to go most of all. It makes some sense, right? They've not been able to get over the hump. As I brought up earlier, if I'm Sean Marks, I don't really care where Kevin Durant wants to go. I have to figure out a way to get the best package to kind of survive for my organization, for my own sake, right? Because if in 2 years the Nets are still dealing with the fallout, which they clearly will be dealing with the fallout, if Sean Marks isn't able to put something decent on the floor from now until then, well, guess what? Sean Marks ain't going to be around. For all the great, you know, they have support for him right now, 2 years of losing after the last previous 3 years, he'll be the guy that ends up paying the price. So where do you think Kevin Durant winds up when this is all said and done?
Well, before I answer that, though, you brought up a good point. How much do you think internally they're pointing the finger at Sean Marks? Like, do you think that he already will become a casualty because of how this whole thing unfolded? Like, you know, Joe Tsai hasn't been at this thing long enough, and we really don't know enough about him yet as an owner, you know, in terms of like major moves for a long period of time. Like, is Joe Tsai right now really holding Sean Marks responsible that basically a team that was put together to win a championship and was, you know, an odds-on favorite at one time to win a championship is now basically crumbling down to a pile of rubble? Is that falling on Sean Marks?
I don't know that it's falling. I think right now it's easy to blame the players. I'll say this. I don't think that they're going to blame themselves either. Like, I don't think ownership is going to say, you know what? My bad. You know what? I screwed up. I don't get the sense that billionaires are the first ones to point the finger at themselves. They're going to find a way to point their finger at somebody else because at the end of the day, they're the owner, right? They don't have to answer to anybody else. So I think that the blame right now will probably, if you're Sean Marks, you can explain this away that the blame belongs with the players and we've made mistakes, but that only lasts for so long. If in 2 years the Nets are without picks, are a bad organization that's not winning any playoff rounds or even playoff contention, it's eventually going to come back to Sean Marks. There's no other. Who else are you going to blame?
Well, I mean, like, if I'm Joe Tsai, and I'm not, obviously. But he could turn around and say to Sean Marks, hey, Sean, I understand that, you know, the players are going to do their own thing and they decided to, you know, leave and go in a different direction and so on and so forth. But Joe Tsai's the one who wrote those checks. I mean, how much did they pay in luxury tax penalties or whatever it is in the NBA? I mean, think about the payroll in these contracts. I mean, and the checks that he had to write to pay those penalties all to chase a championship, right? So, I mean, somebody has to answer that. And that's where I would be annoyed, even though Joe Tsai is a billionaire, you know, several times over. Nobody likes writing that kind of money away. And ultimately, if it gets you, what, one playoff series win? So I wonder if somebody's going to be held responsible for that. That's where I'm a little bit curious here. And you know what? Sean Marks, he might decide, and I don't know this to be true, but what if Sean Marks decides, Gordon, he's like, you know, I still have enough allies in and around the NBA. My reputation, I still think, is in good standing around the NBA circles. Hell, why don't I get a soft landing out of here? Maybe I so-called, you know, step away. We could call it whatever phrase you want to use to announce my separation from the club. He lays low. Then he gets rehired by his old buddy Popovich down there in San Antonio, you know, gets back in the groove someplace else. And then maybe he gets to take over another franchise down the road in the NBA while the going is still good. I could even see something like that happening.
It's not crazy because, like, the Nets are like the Airbnb owner that got the keys back to the place yesterday, and the place is trashed. The renter has been there for a couple of years, and they thought that, oh, everything is all good and well, and the renter, you know, jumped out and left, and they got to take a look at the lay of the land, and the land is scorched earth. The land is in some bad shape. It's going to need some upgrades for sure. That is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And I should tell you that DPH and Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's get a couple of calls in here. Let's go out to Eric is in Jersey. Eric, you're next up on DNR.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Before I make my next point, Gordon, I just want to tell you how refreshing it is to have you back on my morning drive in the morning, as opposed to that narcissistic, self-centered guy
Rick
who loves to stump himself every day.
I'm sorry.
Blah, 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 blah.
Look, all joking aside, I love Dave and Rick. I listen to their show all the time, but thank you for the kind words.
Absolutely. As to the next point, I think that Kyrie Irving deserves a majority of the blame in this, because had he fulfilled his obligations and not missed as many games as he has over the course of the last 2 years, I believe that both James Harden and Kevin Durant would still be there. Kevin Durant was recently asked about his position with the whole Kyrie saga, and his thing was, let's wait and see how it plays out. Everyone thought that he would stay if Kyrie was being re-signed. I think it's quite the opposite now. I think that he, if Kyrie was returning, was going to be his exit. That's why he's leaving. He's done with Kyrie.
Well, I mean, if he finally did quit Kyrie, I don't think that anybody could blame him.
Right.
I don't get the sense that that's the way. I don't get the sense that he blames Kyrie as much as we all do. It's a very unique friendship. I mean, if you can find somebody who loves you the way that KD loves Kyrie, boy, hold on to that love like grim death. I mean,
absolutely.
It's very impressive, the loyalty that he has showed to Kyrie when there really hasn't been any loyalty on the way back. It usually has to be, you know, my father used to say about me as a kid, there's a street named after you and it's one way. And that's kind of Kyrie Irving, man. It seems like there's a street named after him, and it is all one way.
No doubt about it. And you still sit here and like how many more missteps does KD possibly have to witness from Kyrie to where this undying loyalty finally goes out the window? Right? I mean, like you are a superstar. There is legacy that is attached to this. If Kyrie wants to go ruin his legacy, which I think to a certain degree it already has been ruined, because you can't take him seriously anymore, even though he won one of the, you know, and hit one of the most clutch shots in NBA history, winning a championship, hitting essentially a game winner on the road in a game 7, for crying out loud, you know, to dethrone a 73-win team that year in Golden State. But everything that's happened since, that's tarnished what this guy's done in his NBA career. Let's be honest. But KD almost wants to go down in flames with him. I for the life of me, I can't figure it out. I thought Kevin Durant had more pride than that. But like you said, if you find a friend like that, you might as well hang on to him till the bitter end, because that's the way this is headed.
It is impressive. I can't say that I understand it, but it is impressive. Pete is in Flushing. Pete, you're next up on DPH on Rothenberg.
Hey, first time call, guys. Loving the show. You guys are hitting so many great points that the points I was going to bring up, Brooklyn stuck with what, Ben Simmons now? another head case. You know, also, you brought up another good point. Like, when can the owners put their foot down and say, look, you just signed a deal. You got 4 more years. No, you're staying here. And, oh, you're 32, whatever age you are. Well, that's too bad, you know. And then I'm the only guy. I grew up in the 90s, about 40 years old, the 90s Knicks. And back then, the only guy that moved around wasn't a superstar. His name was Robert Horry. You know what I mean? They didn't move around like this, and they didn't have that power.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way that the NBA operates is when the superstar says that he wants out, they generally get out, and they generally get to where they want to go, because I think organizations view it as, well, the next time that we get the chance at the superstar, we want that person to know that we handle our people right, and that there would be a stigma attached if you didn't move your superstar. But it is kind of crazy. Here's Kevin Durant, just signed a 4-year extension that hasn't even kicked in yet. And he's already telling the Nets, he's requested. He hasn't demanded, right? He's requested a trade.
What's the difference? You know,
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to probably get what he wants. And it's just a question of, does he go to the team that he wants to go to?
And, you know, our previous caller was talking about there, like, well, you know, why let the players dictate how this thing operates? Well, because they could just kind of pull what Kyrie's basically done on a whim the last few years. Like, I don't want to play. And then he disappears and I'm not playing. And, you know, even Ben Simmons hasn't played. Ben Simmons can't take the floor. You know, he's still in the ramping it up mode, I'm sure. You know, even now in this, I just saw him fishing in Croatia, but, you know, he's still ramping it up, supposedly. And then they're not doing you any good. So if you're paying a guy a ton of money, he doesn't feel like playing, and he's trying to stick it to the organization, well, you want to at least get something for that, and then you're left with no recourse but to trade him. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. The player, the superstar in the NBA, dictates business more so, I think, than any superstars do in any other of our team sports. Hands down.
No, I don't even think it's close. I don't even think it's close.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 6:45, we will do the morning roast. I have a target in mind. But, of course, it is all about the Brooklyn Nets. It is all about Kevin Durant and the announcement yesterday that he has requested a trade. And so the Titletown Championship Express that the Nets have put together here, the last, and the fact, Dan, that it comes on the same exact day that they announced the partnership of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, it's just so fitting. It's just so perfect. It's just so delicious that here we are 3 years later. And no, even the biggest pessimist could not have thought that this would have turned out to be this much of a disaster.
You know what I just thought about, too, like as we've been talking about this, you know how from time to time we get into these conversations and we ask the question aloud about which New York team will win a championship next? Like, who is the most championship ready? Mm-hmm. And probably over the last couple of years, like that answer from time to time might have been the Brooklyn Nets.
Absolutely.
Right? And now we're talking about a team that may not even be 500. And God knows when they may even be a playoff team again, depending on how things shake out here over the next several weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real way you could have an expectation on what they're going to be because it's just so wide-ranging. You know that Durant's not going to be here. You got to get Kyrie Irving out of here. I mean, I don't know what would be worse news for the Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant leaving or Kyrie Irving staying? That might be. I put up a poll yesterday. I think it was about 50-50. It's that kind of ugly.
Cockroaches.
So, Yeah.
How do you think Kenny Atkinson is loving this?
Oh, game? My God. He's got to be laughing himself silly this morning, right? Like,
think Kenny Atkinson's like the Kermit the Frog meme or whatever, drinking the tea or whatever?
Oh, he has to be doubled over in laughter. He has to just be enjoying that. Now, he won't say it publicly, but, you know there he is.
This is a letter W.
He's out there in Golden State living the dream, fresh off a championship.
Fresh off telling Michael Jordan no.
Right. Has to be odds-on favorites again.
And remember Kevin Durant, like, when he decided to sign with the Nets, and you could tell, like, the BS was just flowing at that point. Like roll up your pants because the BS was getting too thick, you know what I mean, that you were standing in. About part of the reason why he decided to sign with Brooklyn because of Kenny Atkinson. And even though he wasn't going to play that first year, KD went on YouTube and he watched all of these just intricate, mesmerizing offensive sets that Kenny Atkinson had drawn up from all of his stops in the NBA. And KD's head was going to explode. He just couldn't comprehend how brilliant it was. He had to play for that guy. But yet when it came time to toss him overboard and throw him a lifeline, KD was nowhere to be found.
Never played a game for the guy. And how about that Nets culture, right? That was what was all that's why the guys teamed up, and that's why they wanted to go to Brooklyn, because they had this unbelievable culture, this great culture. And then the first thing they did to supplement the culture was just pick it apart piece by piece by piece.
Like the vulture. Picks away at the you know, the dying flesh, right? Just like continues to eat away at it. That's what happened with the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, let's get a couple more calls in here before the morning roast. Let's go to Luke is in Ocean Point. Luke, you're next up on DPHR and Rothenberg.
How you doing, guys? First time caller.
What's up, Luke?
Yeah. If I'm looking at this through Durant's eyes and what I just went through the last two seasons, you were never gonna win with these guys. Kyrie is the most selfish person in the NBA, and then you acquired Simmons, who's the most mentally weak person in the NBA. Like, those two guys together, you're never gonna win anything. Like, I understand it looks bad and it's the timing's awful, but if I'm him, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I'm not winning with these guys. And especially if I'm looking around the rest of the Eastern Conference at some of these teams, there's no way in hell that they're beating them. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's soft on Durant's part. And I think, you know, listen, he's a great player, but I don't think he's as good as everyone makes him out to be. I mean, this guy can't do it by himself. He needs to join an established team, and he needs a real point guard that's going to be there on a night-to-night basis.
The other thing, too, Luke, you know, and thanks for the phone call. And, Gordon, like, can you ever think of a superstar? Like, I'm thinking about how to phrase this properly. Like, if you think about somebody who has unbelievable talent, unbelievable skill set, and then if you match that up with how they've conducted themselves, you know, during their career, can you think of anybody pound for pound as talented as Kevin Durant who's more sensitive and thin-skinned as Kevin Durant, and maybe even at times insecure? Because that's what a lot of this tells me, too, like the need to have to jump from team to team to team, whether it's the burner accounts and having to clap back at people, the Charles Barkley stuff over the last month about needing to drive the bus. I mean, this dude is one of the all-time greats, one of the top 20 guys to ever lace up sneakers and step on a basketball court. And yet he's got to resort to all this stuff because it's almost like he's not confident, it seems like, in his own abilities and what he's done in his career, which to me is silly.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's the offshoot of the criticism that he got for going to Golden State. Like,
he thinks this helps?
No. And you know what's funny is that people yesterday were bringing up teams, and you know, I don't know if people are joking, like, hey, maybe he goes back to Golden State. There's certainly no team that could put together maybe a better package than them. But that's silly. That's ridiculous. I'll be honest with you. To me, it's more sellable of a narrative for him to go back to Golden State than it was for him to go there the first time. You know, you go back there, you can say, well, you know what? I left. I had to do something on my own, but I should never have left this place. To me, that's an easier one to sell to me than, hey, I'm going to join the 73-win team because I've never won a championship before. That one will is there's no way you can explain that away other than I just want to attach my wagon to the easiest path I ever could to win a title.
But don't you think no matter where he ends up next, whether it's a good team, a bad team, a great team, a losing team, whatever, don't you think that anybody with half a brain is going to bring up the fact, oh, yeah, well, what about Brooklyn? Right? Like if they win, if they're successful, even if he wins a title, whatever his next stop is, it's still going to be, at least in my eyes, oh, yeah, but how come it didn't work in Brooklyn? How come he couldn't make it work over there? So, I mean, this is something that's going to stay with him, I think, for the rest of his career. It has to.
Unless they win. Unless wherever he goes, he does win a championship because winning cures all ills. But
if he does it in Sacramento, yes. But like if he joins up with other superstars or a team that's like for instance, Phoenix or Miami, that already has like, you know, 1 foot on the top of the mountain, basically, and he's there to nudge them up to the top, that to me does not carry the same weight as somebody who actually like put a franchise on his back. Like I said earlier, like Jason Kidd coming here, the Nets were as downtrodden could be. He took them to 2 straight NBA Finals.
Yeah, but that's not happening. I mean, if he has any say in it whatsoever, he ain't going to some bad organization. He don't have that much time. He's going to be 34, man. You know, and he might not age as gracefully as LeBron James has aged. So, and even there, right? I mean,
he's not as durable.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. All right, it is that time. It is time for our morning roast, and it is brought to you by Jackpocket.
This is why I'm hot.
Is the morning roast.
Well, I will start this off. I feel like I need to. And my attention is drawn to the guy I thought that I had like a good relationship with over Monday through Thursday. It would be one Rick DiPietro.
Wow.
To your face, I love you. I love working with you. The text messages that I got, praise. Oh, it's been such a nice week. It's been such a different week. I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, the guy's requesting time off. Maybe he wanted to get out of this even earlier, and Dan hasn't been available until this point, so he's going to have to stick it out with me this entire week. What a terrible job by one Rick DiPietro. What a weasel. What a snake. Here I am thinking we're building this wonderful relationship over a wonderful week of shows, and I've done a fantastic job, Dan, but behind the scenes, calling up Hurley, calling up Winthrop, get me out of here. I can't deal with this Damer guy anymore. So, Rick DiPietro, awful job.
Is this salvageable? Like, I mean, is this relationship salvageable moving forward, or is this...
Well, look,
like,
on my end, I'm a very forgiving person. We've had some issues in the past because I pointed out ridiculous things that both Rick and Dave have said in the time slot about the New York Yankees, and they didn't like that. They didn't like... They went very personal. But to me, that's the sign that you've won the argument, right? Like, when you bring up a point and somebody attacks you physically about your appearance, about who you are as a person, that's the sign that you've won the argument. So I let bygones be bygones. But
when they have to resort to those things, then right. You know that you've got them where you want them.
Just because I've forgiven doesn't mean I've forgotten. Let's put it that way.
You can forgive, you can't forget. I like
right.
that.
RJ, do you have a roast this morning, my friend?
I do. When you said attack physically, I was going to say, wow, did someone...
Well, my physical appearance, you know, I'm a turd.
Company security
should be alerted.
Gambling
degenerate. No, if Rick attacked me physically, I'd be in trouble.
I was going to say, good for you for making it through that to the other side. I do. This is... it will go unnamed, but you will figure it out. There's an airline out there...
Uh-oh.
...that has a concept where you select your seat based on grouping 24 hours before your flight. It is stupid. It is inefficient. It is unorganized. And it should go away. All it does is create a rush 24 hours ahead of time, which is different, unique. I don't hate them for that. Here's my problem. What if you're busy 24 hours ahead of time? Because this particular airline, you really only get a couple of minutes to get in, get your number, and get your grouping, so that you will be seated with the people you're with. If you are more than a few minutes late, you run the risk of only selecting middle seats and being separated from the people you paid good money to be on a flight with. Therefore, I don't know how you change it, or if you just get rid of it, But I'm here to tell you it's dumb.
It's airline Thunderdome is what you're saying.
It is stupid.
That was actually so well prepared and thought out. It was such a very, very convincing argument, my friend. That was a good job by you.
I was the because the event I was talking about, this is going back a couple of months. I was in a wedding, and the 24-hour flight happened during the ceremony. And I got to tell you, if you're a half hour late, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. They may duct tape you to the back of the plane.
I have found in air travel, that's when we're all at our best selves. Isn't that the case? You know, everybody's very happy to be taking part in airline travel. Everybody's always in a good mood.
Oh, sure.
Nobody's ready to just kill each other over the stupidest things.
Well, this was my first time on this experience. And
it sounds like the last.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
No friendly vouchers that they gave you as a token of their appreciation? Nothing like that?
Nothing like that.
Nothing. No.
Santiago, how we doing this morning, my pal, my friend?
Pretty
good. I'm worried that I'm going to be the target of the roast after the things that I have thrown out there this week.
No, I'm going to save my vitriol for you for another day.
Behind the scenes.
But yes. You're a big TikTok guy. You
love the TikTok. It's unbelievable.
I'm not as prominent on the TikTok, but I saw a story this week. I guess this guy goes by the name of Griff Green. Pretty popular, allegedly. Made a video this week about what it's like moving to the Bronx from Michigan, and I got to tell you, a lot of people had this opinion, but I got more annoyed the more I watched this video. So he chose to live in this quote-unquote blank hole, I'll let you fill in the blank, for a little while, and he was searching for grocery stores, and he became very upset because all he could find was bodegas and delis. He wanted to know where the Kroger's and the Whole Foods were because he could not find eggs, yogurt, and cheese. I don't know what you're expecting when you move to the Bronx there, buddy. And you know, full disclosure, I hate the Bronx as much as any other borough, but I'm not going to let outsiders come in and disparage the borough. It's kind of like Knicks fans, you know, who trash the Knicks but get very upset when you trash the Knicks. Like, listen, we're allowed to talk bad about our places. You are not. Shut up, deal with it, or move to Manhattan, buddy.
There you go.
Sticking up for the locals. I like that. I'll throw a quick one out there. And it's gotten a lot of play, but I just thought I would pile on. I'm tired of the whole Freddie Freeman weepy, I missed the Braves act. And now he's blaming the agent that he didn't necessarily get all the intel about what decision he was supposed to make. And I give Clayton Kershaw credit for the kind of backhanded comment he made about his new teammate. Like, hey, man, you play for the Dodgers now, not the Braves. I mean, it was a little over the top what we saw last weekend down in Atlanta. Guy's got to remember he's wearing a Dodger uniform right now. And, oh, by the way, getting paid a lot of money to do so.
Yeah, he sleeps on a bed of money. I think you know what? Whatever the problems you had with the Braves or anything like that, it all goes away when you're rubbing $100 bills to wipe away the tears.
Yes,
I would think.
Exactly.
And I wish we had more time because I really wanted to go in on that stupid Astros stadium. I was looking at it again last night. That dopey stadium with the train. They used to have that stupid hill in center field. What a dopey stadium. People sitting in the stands wearing astronaut helmets, giant sombreros. What a terrible place. I hate Houston. And I hate the Astros. And
did anybody blow out their knee or anything on that hill while it was still in existence?
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
I'm but shocked like, they didn't.
Like, how was that? They drew up plans, and they're like, you know what we're going to do in center field? We're going to make a grassy ramp. Right. That'll be a great idea, right? Let's add a little character. What a stupid stadium.
Towels Hill.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Towels Hill. That's right. And then they got rid of it. They're like, next year the outfield is just going to be flat. Yeah, like every other outfield.
What a
dummies.
Novel concept.
Right. What an idea.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.